We're continuing our conversation about in 1 Peter about suffering. That's kind of what the book's about. It's the theme. He mentions it all the time, and all the little phrases and the passages he's mentioning suffering. So I'll just do a little. We're pushing towards the very end, so I'll do a little. This is for the teachers in the room. A little assignment, if you will, and maybe we'll do a little review. Class review is what we're going to do. So who suffers?
Everybody.
That's right. So who suffered this week? So some people didn't suffer this week. So,
bless you,
let me phrase it a different way. Who had anything that was a little difficult happen this week? Yeah, that's a few more. Noah's still none of the above. Flatline, do not suffer. Nothing bad ever happens. Okay, so so we suffer, right? And we suffer because why? More review. Yeah, well, we suffer because Christ suffered, but why did Christ suffer? Yeah, exactly. We live in a broken world and fallen people, and all the people in the world are sinners, and so we sin against each other, don't we? And when we do that, we suffer. So that means if you suffered this week, and some of you testified that you did, that's because you were sinned against. And what that means ultimately is that you were sinned against in some... In the macroscopic way, like COVID, right? COVID's a result of sin. COVID wouldn't have happened if we'd have been in heaven, right? So it's a part of fallenness, right? And so we suffer because of that, but we also suffer directly when we're mean to each other. So, what have we learned is the God's purposes for suffering? He gets glorified and we get benefited, built up, right? So God gets glorified and we get built up in suffering. So you're going to have it, and it's not supposed to surprise you when your world around you is difficult, because it's going to be. And so what suffering does is that in all the different ways that it does it, in all the nuanced and exciting ways that it does it, it exposes our hearts. And it lets us know, who we are and how we are in the moment. What Peter has been trying to teach us is how to suffer properly. And he gives us every little normal thing in our life. He talks about our boss, and he goes, yeah, you got a bad boss, you're going to have to suffer with him. You know, and he talks about our families, and he goes, yeah, your families, they're all sinners. You know, you got a bad wife, and you got a bad husband, you're going to have to suffer. You know what I mean? And you got bad kids, and your parents are bad, and there you go. Because we're all sinners, right? So we're all burdening one another with our sins and ourselves and our imperfections, right? And so we have to bear in our body the sins of each other, if you will. And we have to suffer that, and we have to suffer it. And what Peter is trying to teach us is how to suffer well. If you're going to suffer, and you are, we'll suffer well. And how do Christians suffer? Well, they suffer with a godly response rather than an ungodly response. And over again, in every section, and including in this subsection today, Peter says, he'll say, listen, you're going to suffer. Don't be surprised by it. When you suffer, suffer with a godly response, and then he'll say this. That's in the positive, and then he'll say this in the negative. And here's the deal in the negative. If you suffer for blowing it, well... that's on you. You know what I mean? In other words, tough, you know, kind of deal. So, you know, I went to Branson. I'm officially elderly and over the hill. And so I decided, well, old people go to Branson. So did that. And what let me know that I was old is I really liked it. And so, you know, I was up there, and we go to this one place, and the guy says, oh, yeah, 25-minute wait at the max. So, you know, it's 45. Nothing's happened yet. So I go up to check on a thing. Yeah, you know, he said 25 is 45. And he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, yeah, we're, yeah, okay, man. I know. You know, he goes, so 5 minutes. I go, well, 20 was 40, so is 5:10? You hear that little smart aleck thing going on there? A little kind of popping him in the nose, you know, with my little digs. So what happened was I had to suffer an extra few minutes and wait on a table, and it exposed my heart that I'm a smart aleck and that I want to give a dig back at the guy for not seating me when he was supposed to, because I'm entitled and I'm a self-righteous idiot. Okay? I mean, you know, I mean, And believe me, you know, I didn't feel good about that the rest of the evening. You know, I mean, it's the littlest thing exposes your heart at how, what a bozo we are, you know, and how sinful we are, and how quick to exercise our foolishness on the world rather than just to say, dude, man, you guys must be wiped out, because if you thought it was going to be 20 and it's 45, you know, bless you guys, man. That would have been awesome, wouldn't it have? And it would have blessed him, and it would have blessed the staff around him, and it would have blessed me. Yeah, but that ain't the way it went down. So guess what God did? He got to teach me for the whole next day as I meditated on that foolishness about that. I could have borne that 20 minutes way better than I did. So I had instead of having a godly response, I had an ungodly response. I suffered. That guy suffered, you know, he just stands there and lets people in, probably college kid, you know what I mean? Like, really, you know, what did he have to do? And he's sitting there looking at me like, please, please don't go further than this. Enough of you. and he probably really deals with sweet old people. But I'm new to being old, so I was kind of doing grouchy old. So this is what Paul talks about, and then so we're going to suffer. Suffering exposes us, not the situation. It's not the situation's fault. It's my response. It's my response at what God's looking for. He's cultivating and shaping my heart so that he's glorified as I image Jesus in the situation that I'm in. And if not, then he's going to teach me. And it's going to be painful, and he's going to disciple me and grow me up, and it's going to be painful. So why? So that I'll suffer like Jesus in while I'm waiting for a table. And that's what it's about. You know, that's the thing. I remember one time, I don't know when it was. I don't know. I mean, this isn't long ago. I do this way more regularly than I'd like. And I'm standing at the, we'd gone someplace, and I was standing at the motel, and they were supposed to have our room ready, and it wasn't ready, and you know, I was like, okay, so I've got all my stuff, what do you want me to do, kind of deal, and just giving this little kind of, you know, patheticness, and she goes, well, you can just, y'all can sit there if you want, and I'm, you know, I'm whatever, and it just kind of give her the whatever nasty look, you know, kind of deal. And I look down at my shirt and it says, be a nice person. And what I realized with this, that girl was reading it and she was being nice. But the guy who was wearing it, you know, was getting an opportunity to suffer properly and he was blowing it. That's it. And it happens in our back and forth with our spouses and our, you know, in the just the normal rhythm of life. It's just constantly happening where we're meeting with the difficulties of life and we're either getting it right or we're blowing it. And so we're at this place. I set up this long last week, this passage where Peter shifts gears and he talks about the trial and he says he had talked about these trials up until now is what he just called various trials. In other words, just normal life living trials. And then at the end, and if you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter 4:12, we're starting there. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. So he shifts gear and he goes and he was talking about various trials, and now he's shifted gears and he's lifted the conversation up to talk about a trial that's particularly fiery. And this trial's also going to test you. And that is that there are going to be times when your faith itself is going to be tested. When what you believe is going to be tested. When who you stand on and who you stand for is going to be tested. And he calls that a fiery trial. And he says, rejoice insofar as you're sharing in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. And he orients the hope of my suffering into this. There will be a day when every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord. And until that day, there's only a few knees that bow and tongues that confess that Jesus is Lord. And the rest of them don't. And you're going to suffer because of them, for your faith. Especially, and you should, right? He said, don't be surprised at it. Because you're actively living out your faith. And if you're actively living out your faith, you're going to bump into people that don't share it. And so you're going to be insulted. And here's how he said that's going to go down. If you're insulted for the name of Christ, you're blessed. Because the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God rests upon you. And if you have some of the older translations, they took out this phrase in the newer translation because it's not in most of the old translations, and it's not in the Greek, the original languages, but this was in the Bible for a long time, this phrase. On their part, he's being blasphemed, but on your part, blasphemed, on your part, he's being glorified. So this is what he said, you know, that we stand up for Christ and we stand in Christ. And when we do that, there's going to be times when we're going to be insulted for that. I'm insulted. It's shocking. Like, there was a season in my life where I thought, nobody's ever going to be insulted for their faith in America. I have been rightly insulted lately. You know what I mean? And I thought, wow, okay then, you know? And you know, okay, you know, this kind of, you know, like, I'll give you an example of a response that I gave. Well, you just feel what you feel then, you know, and I'll just feel what I feel. And why can't we just get along? And I said, well, I'm not really telling you what I think. What I'm telling you is what God thinks about this matter. I don't know what to think. The Bible says that I, you know, want to go my own way. The Bible says that there's a way that seems right to a man, and I don't know what it is. And so I don't really act like I know what it is. But God has revealed the way, and he's revealed it throughout all the ages, and his people have embraced it. And all I'm doing is giving you what they've said, that his will is, which, by the way, I believe it, and I walk in it, because I don't have my act together, but God does, and he's revealed himself in his way to me, you know. Well, fine, you're just a bigot. And I'm like, okay then, you know, I'll take that, because listen, here's the thing, on, you know, I'm not worried about that at all. I'm not worried about that. There is a way that seems right to a man. What's the end of the verse, Sunday schoolers? But the end thereof is the way of death, right? Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've done what? We've turned every one of us to our own way. So if you think that I'm going to join the crowd of people that does what's right in their own way and turns and does what right in their own ways, I'm sorry. I'm a fool. I don't know where to go. But I have a word that tells me where to go, and it's right every time. And I can stand on it. And I can... I'm not defending the Word of God. Are you kidding me? God wrote this. I'm not defending it. I'm just telling you what it says, and I believe it, and I'm submitted to it. Does that make sense? And when you do that, you're going to get some pushback against the world. Because the world does not give a rip what God thinks about anything. They don't. They're their own gods. Right? I mean, that's what it says. There's a way that seems right to a man. They do it. What does the Bible say? Trust in the Lord with all your might and lean not into your what? Oh, okay. Y'all all knew that one. But seriously, isn't that what we do? So people want me to lean into my own understanding? Well, how do you feel about it? What do you mean, how do I feel about it? I do not give a single rip how I feel about it. My God has revealed to me His Word. His church has said yes to that for 2,000 years, and I say yes to it too. Who cares what I understand and what I think? I don't care. If you asked me to figure stuff out, we'd all be in a mess. But God has it figured out. But when you do that, and when you articulate the Word of God with clarity and kindness and patience, and by the way, if you articulate it wrong, remember what He said, well, you get what's coming to you. You know? But if you articulate it with clarity and kindness and patience, then you're trusting in the Lord, and you're just saying His Word, and His Word does its thing. He says it doesn't come back void. He says it's sharp as any two-edged swords. It pierces, and it's helps people understand who they are. It exposes them, and it exposes me. It exposes me, so I'm not afraid of that, and you shouldn't be afraid. And if you're insulted for the name of Christ, and you will be, you're blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief, or as an evildoer or as a meddler. If anybody suffers, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. So that's, you know, he keeps going back to this. Listen, he says, if you're going to suffer, suffer for having a godly response, because your ungodly responses, you don't get no credit for those. And you're going to get what's coming to you, right? And so have a godly response. Have a godly response. You glorify God when you do that. I was trying to think of how to unpack this in a way that's really practical. And I was thinking about Katrina, you know. And when Katrina happened, I was in Phoenix. And we were just overwhelmed. I can't imagine how you guys, it must have been here, honestly. But we were just like, you know, everybody just sat in front of the TV and couldn't believe what was happening. I mean, I literally was thinking, oh my goodness, everything's going to be flooded. You know, I mean, I just like, oh, wow. It was just overwhelming. And the heart of the nation just was pouring out. I mean, I remember in our church that Sunday morning, I said, does anybody have any family members that are in that area that are being affected? There were five families in our church in Phoenix that stood up, and I asked them where they were from and how they were being affected, and everybody told their story. And I said, we're just going to take up an offering this morning, and we're going to split it between those five churches so that they can help people. And our church just like in 1 second gave $7,000. Just 1 second. You know what I mean? Everybody's heart was just pouring out, right? And then, like, I don't know when it was, maybe a day or two later, when the waters just receded enough and the storm had just, you know, chilled out a little bit, there was this, you saw in the news, you know, these people looting stores and carrying one TV on one arm and, you know what I mean, and just all this kind of stuff. And listen to me, like, it was like the compassion that everybody had got a little tainted by that. You follow me? Didn't it, y'all? Didn't that feel weird? I mean, like our hearts were just being poured out, and then all of a sudden, we're like, well, that doesn't feel so good. You know what I mean? And it was kind of like, everything that was trying to be done kind of lost its message a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it is when you're suffering and you don't suffer well. You know, it's like, you're suffering and all of a sudden you start acting out, and guess what? You've kind of lost your voice, haven't you? You know? And I hate to go back to this stupid story, but it's been bothering me all weekend, you know? So I'm 20 minutes late on the thingajigger, you know? And here I have an opportunity to glorify God and bless people and love them and care for their souls on a tough night when they were understaffed. And instead, I lost my voice, didn't I? As a believer, I lost my voice, because right after that, had I even tried to recover that and said, you know, oh gosh, man, I was a jerk, I'm sorry, I would have recovered a little bit of it. You know, I couldn't find the guy, by the way. I was trying to do that, in case you're wondering. But the thing is that you'd still lost it, right? Why? Because, you know what? If you don't suffer like a godly person, then then you don't suffer like a godly person. And if you suffer like the world, then guess what? And if you try to overcome evil with evil, then guess what? Right? Never works. 100% of the time. I was a student of King, you know, and I wasn't living in the South. I'm curious how I would have seen King had I lived in the South, but I was lived out West, and total student of King. Me and my son, when he was a little boy, maybe 10, 11 years old, we would read, like I would read, you know, a chapter, he'd read a chapter, we would just read everything about this guy. We were fascinated by him. But one of the things I really, really loved about King was that he told his people, we're going to suffer godly. I mean, we're going to suffer. We're already suffering. We're already being persecuted. And we're going to stand up and let that whole thing keep happening. But it's going to be happening in front of cameras. And we're just going to let justice prevail. You know, we're just going to suffer. And you know what? Guess what? He never lost his voice. Never. Never. And big change happened in our country, because he knew how to suffer properly. And he knew how to call the people around him to suffer properly. And he never lost his voice, because he never tried to overcome evil with evil. He just didn't do it. He said, hate never overcomes love. Love overcome hate. That's it. And overcome evil by doing good, right? And so we got to suffer. And we're gonna suffer for our faith. More and more we're going to suffer for our faith. And don't be afraid to suffer for your faith. You're supposed to suffer for your faith. You know, So there's all these times in people's lives, you know, where they have to stand up for what is right and is godly, right? Maybe you have to do it in your marriage. Maybe you have to do it with your children. Maybe you have to do it at your job. I don't care where it is, but you have to suffer. You have to stand up for what's right, and you have to do right, right? And it's like, well, guess what? As soon as you have to do that, you're gonna suffer. So do it. That's all. Just do it. Okay. So here's what he says. It's time for judgment to begin in the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God or believe the gospel of God? Same, same. And if the righteous are scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? And he's not saying that we're scarcely saved, like Jesus didn't do all the work. What he's saying is that if it were up to me, none of us would be saved. That everybody comes through by the skin of their teeth as it relates to us, because there's no righteousness that we can give, right? And so, and what that means is that we're in a world where the ungodly are perishing, and they need a church that will stand up for the only hope that they have, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church has to be purified and tested. And this is what he said. There's a fiery trial that is coming to test you. right? The church has to be tested. Why does the church need to be tested? Because God needs to show me how weak I am and foolish I am so that I'll straighten my act up and represent him properly and represent his gospel properly, right? And so that's it. And then he said, therefore, let us suffer, let us, those of us who suffer according to God's will, entrust our souls to our faithful Creator while doing good. And he goes back, that's what he said that Jesus did. Jesus entrusted his soul to the faithful Creator while it's doing good. I had hoped to get into chapter 5 today. In chapter 5, and I'll finish up Peter next week, but chapter 5 is about how to lead yourself and others and your community while you're suffering, and you're gonna. That's what chapter 5 is about. And so it starts with, he's talking to the elders of the church, and he's telling them how to lead a suffering people. And he's saying, here's how you do it. If you're in charge, this is how you lead a suffering people. And then he goes to the other people, and he says, and this is how you act in a suffering community, right, with suffering people. And you're going to see some really, really wonderful nuggets in there about how we have to move forward as we're suffering for our faith and for what we believe in and with each other's sin and foolishness and all that kind of stuff. And remember, it's all based in and on the gospel. What is it? Christ has suffered. What did he do? He bore our sins in his body on the tree. What does that mean? That means that not only that God declared them guilty of them, but against him and against him only we were sinning. And he was experiencing our sins. And what was he doing with them? Not only putting up with them, he was putting up with them to death. Why? So that we would be rescued from them. So that we would be rescued from them. Some of you suffered this week, and you've suffered because sinners are on the earth. And somebody can just say amen to that. And we're sinners, and that's why you've suffered. And some of you have suffered horribly this week. And you've been betrayed, and you can't believe that people would be as wicked as they have been. And some of you just had minor suffering. But you've all suffered. And how do we respond? Let me tell you what God was trying to accomplish in your suffering. He was exposing your heart, so that he could grow you, so that you could, in your godly response, glorify him. And if you, like me, had an ungodly response, he could train you by it and grow you up so you'd stop acting like a kid and start acting like a Christian. Right? All right. So, Cody, come back up and lead us in another song. All right, 1 Peter's good, isn't it? Let's suffer well. Let's suffer well. Stop our foolishness. Orient ourselves according to the truth that is in the Word of God. And especially in these times when we need to be clear about it more than ever. Lord, we love you. We're glad to be in you. We're glad to be found in you. We're glad that you paid for our sins. We're glad that we've been chosen by you, that we're your kids, that we're in a royal family, that we're in a holy nation. And we're glad that we can represent that holy nation by living godly lives, lives that glorify you. And we're thankful that you test us and expose our hearts so that we can grow. And we just pray that we'll learn our lessons quicker. In Jesus' name, amen.